Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler. Today, we are going to start a three-part mini-series called Should You Start a Flower Farm? Not how to, not can you, not why to, but should you? And I firmly believe that anyone can do anything, but you cannot do everything. And well, within reason. I am not going to become an Olympic athlete or a Victoria's Secret model, but you know what I mean. So in this mini series, episode one, which will be this one, we're going to talk about how do you feel about sales and how do you handle rejection? And then part two will be, do you have a commitment to learning about things other than flowers? Because you are going to have to learn about so much when it comes to owning a business. And if you don't care to learn about anything besides flowers, then maybe a flower farm isn't right for you. And the last one is going to be talking about time and resources. How much do you have to put back into this? And I firmly believe that, you know, if this is your hobby, if this is your passion, that's wonderful, but that doesn't mean you have to start a business out of it. And I think that this episode can apply to, you know, just about any entity, you know, anyone that's trying to turn any hobby into a business. These are just questions that you should ask yourself before you get started. And, you know, I don't want, you know, and if you like doing it and you like growing flowers, you can come work for someone like me. You can come work for another flower farmer and just do the gardening, the bouquets, the pick flowers, the pull weeds, the arranging. You know, you could probably even, you know, help them plan the garden, but it's, you know, planning the sales and turning it into a successful business is a whole other beast. So I do not want this to come across as a dream crusher. I hate when people crush dreams, like just let me dream my dream. But I think it's important to ask yourself some things before you get into it. So that we have this three-part mini series. And then at the end, we're going to have a live Q&A webinar about getting started with a flower farm. So the link to that will be in these episode notes so you can sign up for it. It will be done over Zoom. The Zoom link will be emailed to you. And that's going to take place on May 6th, 2024. So get signed up right away for that, and then you can be on the live Q&A where you can, you know, ask any questions that you have about these episodes. But I just think that if you are going to turn your hobby into a business, I really hope that it's not just to prove you can. Because if I'm being honest, that's how I got the initials DR in front of my name. I am literally Dr. Liz Fidler. I have my doctorate in nursing because I wanted to prove that I could. And I was 23 years old. And if, you know, it's taken me a lot of soul searching to acknowledge that. Like, why did I become a nurse practitioner? How did I get here? And it's not that I don't enjoy it. And it's not that I don't enjoy medicine. And it's not that I don't enjoy helping people. And there's actually a lot of parts that cross over between, you know, the podcast, the flower farming, the coaching, the, you know, even consults on weddings, whatever. There are a lot of parts of my job that cross over. So I'm not, you know, I don't regret doing that. I still work one day a week and it's a lovely safety net. We're going to talk about that when we talk about the money and the resources that you can invest back in the business. But I think that, you know, I was working a weekend as a nurse and these surgeons would not listen to me all weekend long. And I just kept saying there's something wrong with the patient and ended up going back to surgery Sunday night. And I was like, what should I have said differently? Help me learn, because I can't just let anything go, right? I have to learn from it. And I say, okay, help me know what I could have said differently so that you would have listened to me sooner, because obviously I did a crappy job advocating for the patient, advocating for their family, and, you know, communicating what was wrong. And I will never forget, the surgeon looks at me and he goes, oh, nothing. There's nothing you could have said that would have made me listen to you. Like, you're a young 23-year-old nurse. Like, nah, nope. Like, wasn't going to happen. And that was when I came home that weekend and I told my late husband, Josh, about it. And we were engaged at the time. I don't even know if we were engaged yet. I think we were engaged because we were living together. And I just said, you know, I told him what happened and he's like, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep working the rest of your life? Are you going to have a different career? Are you always going to work in healthcare? Like, this is the career you chose. So if this is going to bug you forever, then you should do something about it. So that's why I ended up going back to school. And I mean, there's a lot of other reasons. That's not the only reason I went back, but that's the big reason. And so, you know, if you're a gardener, and you're probably better at growing flowers than me. If you've got a green thumb and you're like, oh, I could totally start a flower farm and it would be better than anyone else. If that's your reason for doing it just to prove you can, then I want you to listen to this episode and decide if you should. Now, I firmly believe that there is room for everyone in this industry. People are wanting to buy local. They are wanting to support local. They want to know where their food comes from. They want to know where their flowers come from. They want a smaller carbon footprint. There's so many reasons to shop local, to grow local. And 70% of our flowers in the United States are imported. But I think people, consumers, are starting to find out that the reason that flowers are cheap or priced the way they are is because those flowers are genetically modified to ship across the country and last for 3 or 4 weeks. And so if you want that versus the local one, you know, and they're older by the time you get them. And so there's just a difference. And so there's a higher value to the local grown, to the locally grown ones, but you know, the right customer is going to appreciate that. And so let's go ahead and get started. We're going to dive deep into part one. Should you start a flower farm? How do you feel about sales, and how do you handle rejection? We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. The very first thing you should ask before you start a flower farm is there a market for what you want to grow? And are you willing to adjust that accordingly? Because you cannot just throw a bunch of seeds in the ground or grow these, you know, magnificent XYZ things without analyzing who is going to buy it. Now, again, this episode is for someone that's trying to start a business, right? So your goal is to sell the flowers in a profitable way. If you're like, well, I don't really care if they sell, and I don't need much money, and I just want to pay for my hobby, then this episode is not tailored to that, because it's going to be someone who has goals of valuing their time and, you know, making a profitable business. So is the market there for what you want to grow? So coming up this summer, we're going to be featuring different types of flowers every week and really digging deep into the business side of each individual flowers. So if I have a bouquet of dahlias, lisianthus, strawflower, status, bupleurum, those are all flowers that they're pretty labor intensive. You have to start them ahead of time in trays, you have to baby them with lights, or you have to buy expensive plugs, which is what I do, and transplant them. And you know, the dahlias, you have to divide them, you have to split them, you have to store them. Bupleurum is one and done. So that's a more expensive, more premium bouquet than one that's going to be cosmos, zinnias, sunflowers, amaranth. Yes, the sunflowers are one and done, but for the most part, the rest of them are pretty easy, and it's got a pretty short window, days to maturity. And so those two bouquets are going to be two different prices. Now you could do a mix of the different flowers in there, and you know, you don't have to get so nitty gritty of the cost per stem, but just understanding that not all flowers are created equal. And if you don't have a market that's going to say, you know, if they're only going to pay $10 for a bouquet, if you cannot sell a $30 bouquet, you probably aren't going to be able to build a business off of growing all the things that you want because people aren't going to compensate you for all the extra hours behind the scenes that it takes. Ranunculus, tulips. Again, that's going to be its own series this summer. I'm really excited. We just got those episode outlines done. But basically, is there a market for what you want to grow? Who is going to buy it? I am in a lot of cut flower groups on Facebook. And I just saw a post the other day of a gal saying, I really want to start a flower farm. Here's my thoughts. There is not a market for flowers where I live. There's just not a lot of, extra income. The household, income is lower. And I just don't think that a lot of people in my county are going to be able to buy flowers or have extra money to spend on flowers. But my parents live 4 hours away in, it was out of state. My parents live out of state and I could sell flowers there. And I know that, they live in a suburb area and people would buy them. Is this going to be a good idea? And I started typing and I'm like, no, don't get in a fight with a stranger on the internet because I'm just trying to be helpful. And she asked for advice, but she doesn't want to hear my advice. So I'm just not going to comment. But I want to say, what the heck are you doing? No, that's not going to work. That's not going to be profitable. I mean, can you do it and just sell the flowers on the weekends? Yeah, you can. But why would you want to? Like what makes you want to do that? Like every single weekend you have to go there. And so maybe she just wants to sell the flowers out of her hobby garden. But if she's trying to build a sustainable business out of that, first of all, flowers, if she's going there every Saturday and selling those flowers, the problem is she will have to make those bouquets up on Friday because if she's driving right away Saturday morning. So anything that blooms Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, those 5 days, the flowers are going to be thrown away or sold at a discount or at least need to be deadheaded if you don't have a use for them because, you need the flowers from Thursday or Friday to sell them on Saturday because you want your customers to have a long vase life. You want expectations, the cost, the gas, everything. And maybe she drives there every weekend anyway, but it would quickly turn into a job, something you have to do. And so, so that's the perfect example of, to answer her question, can she do that? Yes, you can, but I don't see how it's going to be profitable and I don't understand why you would want to do that. So just look at, who's going to buy it? Who's your customer base? Are they going to buy what you want to grow? You also have to be comfortable knowing that you are not for everyone. You are going to hear a lot of no's. So how do you feel about criticism? How do you feel about unhappy customers? Because I tell you what, I get told all the time how flowers are a waste of money. I get told all the time that flowers, they just die. I get told that my wife doesn't like flowers and they say it with a badge of honor. I'm like, okay, fine. I don't care. You don't need to tell me that. But people will tell you. As a small business owner, they will tell you why they don't like you. They will tell you why it's out of price. They will not understand the value. You will have to go back and forth. And it's hard because you want to please everyone. But if you are a people pleaser and you want to make every single customer 100% happy, it's going to be really, really hard. You will spend 80% of your time trying to get the customer, the 20% of customers to be happy. And it's just hard. And sometimes you just have to let that customer go. My bouquets are typically like 7 or 8 different kinds of flowers and like 2 stems in each. And that's what gives them the wildflower look. And customers think that, oh, it's wildflowers. You just picked them out of your meadow. No, I did not. True wildflowers have a very short vase life. Typically, they don't last very long. These are not cheaper. They're more expensive. They're a lot more labor intensive to grow. But people think that that's what the wildflower look is. So be comfortable knowing that you are not for everyone. So right now, as I'm recording this, it is April 5th and my spring subscriptions are done for the year. My summer subscriptions are just getting started. I would anticipate I'll end up doubling that amount. But so far between spring and summer subscriptions, 96 people have bought 1,400 bouquets. I have nursing home sponsorships. So 7 businesses have bought 280 bouquets. I have pre-booked some private stem bars and private U-picked for the summer, through end of September. I've pre-booked 11 of those so far. And based on the RSVPs, that's 165 bouquets. And then I actually have some corporate private stem bars I'm doing. One of them is pretty big. It's 80 people. The business is paying for all of their employees to be able to do a stem bar. So I'm going in there in May. So far there's 3 of them booked for May and 150 bouquets there. So pre-sold as of April 5th, just shy of 2,000 bouquets, and I only have 117 customers that I have to deal with. Plus, there'll be stem bars, pop-ups, U-picks, more subscriptions will be sold. I also have, I think, 7 weddings done, and it's hard to like factor in that bouquet, but the average wedding is around $1,500 if they get a bridal bouquet, 5 or 6 bridesmaid bouquets, boutonnieres, because that's typically what I do. So I have 7 weddings and all of that. You don't need a lot of customers. And yeah, you could say, well, that's, you know, 117 people. That's not a lot of people when you consider, you know, the large volume of 2,000 bouquets so far. And again, my stem bars typically sell 30 to 40 bouquets every time, and I do 1 or 2 a week there. And then my U-picks typically sell out at 60 people, 60 tickets on Saturdays. So, you know, I've built my business. And if you want to learn how I do all of that, this is not an ad for Peddling Perishable Products, but Peddling Perishable Products is my course that gets you thinking about like doing things in volume and how I set up all of these structures. The next group of that will start fall of 2024. We do 1 in the fall, 1 in the spring. So anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm just saying that there is a way of knowing, like, you know, if yes, 117 people said yes to my business, but how many people said no? How many people said, no, thank you, I don't want it, I just want to buy 1 bouquet once in a while, or I don't want any flowers. And that's fine. And you have to hear that over and over again. You're going to hear a lot of no's. When I sent out a survey last year, I had like 200, and I'm forgetting the numbers now, but it was over 200 people that filled it out based on my Instagram stories of current or aspiring flower farmers. And it was a SurveyMonkey poll. And they said, you know, I asked, and 71% said their goal was to replace their current income and make a living off of a flower farm, not pay for their hobby, not do it as a side hustle, but do it as a full-time career. 71%. And I put a lot of boxes in there, like, what's stopping you? What's making you not do it? Like, what, you know, give me some answers. And there were a lot of them that said, I don't want to be a social media star. I just want to sell my flowers. And I have a lot of thoughts about that. Like any of us that are doing, you know, ask anyone. And I don't even have a huge following on social media. I'm proud of what I have. It's a very engaged following. I'd rather have my, you know, 5,500 or whatever it is than someone else's 50,000, because mine are perfect. They listen to the podcast, they buy my flowers, they engage with me, they're there for a reason, and they're incredibly engaged, and I'm not for everyone, and that's okay. So of course you can do it without social media, but you have to do some sort of marketing. So how comfortable are you marketing and trying to sell your flowers and, you know, trying to get it out there? Like I said, criticism and unhappy customers, you're going to get people, it's going to happen. You're going to get a bouquet that wilts. You're going to get something that doesn't meet expectations. You're going to have a miscommunication. I just had a customer last weekend. I literally lost sleep for 2 days. It sucked so bad. She thought she was getting like a centerpiece, and it was an arrangement in a vase, and there was confusion. And I was like, what can I do to make this right? Can I refund? You know, and it was just, I don't know if at some point I said centerpiece, even though on the website it said arrangement, and they were done with wholesale flowers. So, you know, when I have to buy them, they're going to be more expensive, you know, the stock or the whatever. Like I tried to like make it right with her, because she is a customer that she trusted me to tell me that she was unhappy, because she's been a happy customer for a long time. This lady has bought literally thousands of dollars of flowers from me over the last couple of years. She always gets a subscription. She gets a subscription for her daughter. She, you know, it was heartbreaking to know that for whatever reason, something got mixed up and she was disappointed. And I was like, can I give you a U-pick voucher? Can I refund you? Can I partially refund you? Can I exchange? Can I give you, you know, I think I even offered her some eggs. I'm like, what can I do? Because she's a customer that I value. And she's like, no, thanks. It's fine. It was such a crappy feeling, you guys. And I still am like, the first time I see her, because she's getting that was an Easter bouquet, and she's getting a subscription. I'm like, oh my God, when I see her, I know me, I'm going to be this space filler. I'm going to see her and be like, hi, are you happy? Are you happy? Like every time I see her, and it just sucks, because I want her to like me and I want her to, you know, but I got to let it go. Like my fiance was like, okay, you can't keep doing this. Like she's not happy, but you offered all these things. She didn't take you up for it. So now that's on her. Like I don't know what to tell you. And again, and it was a trickle effect of a miscommunication, but you gotta just roll with it sometimes and just let it go. And you gotta be okay with not everyone understanding why things are priced the way they are. And you got to be okay with people from, you know, it's kind of funny where I live. If you go southwest of where I live or southeast or straight east of where I live, those are the majority of my customers. If you go north or northwest of where I live, my flowers are so expensive. And I hear it all the time. Like, she sure thinks a lot of her flowers. And I mean, they are the people that they will complain about the $5 watching ticket. They think it's ridiculous that my YouPicks charge, you know, you buy a ticket to buy them and then it's $5 just for watching, because I don't want one person buying one bouquet, coming and bringing three kids. And then now all of a sudden, if every bouquet that I sell, there's an additional three people here, I could sell my 50 bouquets, but I could have 200 people here on a Saturday morning. And I do not want that. I want 50 people, 50 bouquets. I want it to be calm. And so by doing that $5 watching ticket, I have set a expectation for those that are here that it's a calm, quiet, relaxing morning with not a bunch of chaos happening. But by doing that, I've excluded a lot of people, because some people just aren't going to pay $5 for their kids to come, $5 for their husband to come, for their sister, for their mom. They think that's ridiculous, and that's fine. But if every customer brings their mom, their husband, and their daughter, even if it's not little kids running around, that's still 200 people here when I am only selling 50 bouquets. Like, that's just chaotic. But I can't do it where I only sell 20 bouquets. That's not profitable enough for me with all of my expenses and everything that I have going on. And so knowing that I'm not for everyone, people are going to have opinions, but when I explain it to you guys get it. And the customers that get it. And the customers that are here on those Saturday mornings, and I say, hey, you know, P.S. like the $5, like, I know that it's, you know, they all are like, no, please don't stop doing that. Like, if I came here and there were 100 people, you know, if I had to park on the road, and, you know, it would just completely change the entire thing and I wouldn't come back. And so hearing that from them, whereas the people that come every single Saturday morning, they get a punch card, whatever, like, that is perfect. And so they get it. And you have to be okay with other people not understanding, not wanting to, and quite frankly, maybe talking a little crap about you and your business. Because when you know, when you are a business owner, that's what happens. And, you know, there's this whole trend on, I don't have TikTok. I literally don't. But, you know, after it's on TikTok, 2 weeks later, it gets onto Instagram Reels. And so that's where I watch my TikToks when they end up getting posted on Instagram. But there's this whole trend of, like, what I ordered versus what I got on Amazon. And people will continuously buy from a company where, you know, it's not always, it's sometimes a little bit misleading. The clothes fit differently, but they'll keep buying it and they'll just return it and they'll just keep shopping there. Whereas, you know, like my customer with that Easter bouquet, one time her expectation, and it wasn't even, you know, how I marketed it, because I followed up with the other people that bought it. I'm like, hey, were you disappointed? And they're like, no, why? And I think it was because I recently posted a different picture of a centerpiece and she thought that's what it was. I don't know. Like, I don't know how it happened, but she just thought she was getting something different than what she got. And then when I tried to make it right, she was okay with it. So anyway, we're letting it go. We're dropping it. Can you tell I'm over it? No. But my point is, someone will buy from Amazon over and over and over again and be disappointed, or McDonald's will screw up your order and you'll keep going back, or, you know, there'll be a long wait at a restaurant, and, you know, if it's a chain restaurant or something, you just keep going back. Whereas if it's a small business, we make one mistake, one disappointment, one whatever, nope, we're done. I'm not going back there. And so that's the reality of small business owners. People say they like to shop small, but they want a discount. They want, you know, whatever it might be. And it just doesn't always happen. So first of all, if you're going to start a business, you're going to have to sell your flowers, because a flower farm is selling flowers, not growing flowers. You don't make money off of growing flowers. You make money off of selling them. So how do you feel about sales, and how do you handle rejection? So go to the episode notes, sign up for the live Q&A. Make sure you tune in for parts 2 and 3 of this mini series. And again, I am in your corner. I am rooting for you. I want everyone to get into this and be successful. But I think in order to be successful, you have to ask these questions first. And there is no shame in saying, you know what? Starting a flower farm is not for me. I just want to grow flowers. I want to have my hobby garden. Maybe you want to just you know, do some flowers for some graduations or sell them here and there, and you're just trying to pay for your hobby, and that's fine. But if you want to turn it into a real, legit, actual business that pays you a salary like mine, it takes a little bit more. So next week, part two, we're going to talk about your commitment to learning about things other than flowers. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.